consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
In the Old Testament, we have a whole group of people that show up that are known as prophets. And I think that one prophet, Jeremiah, does a really good job of describing what a prophet's job is, or what a prophet's calling is. This is what Jeremiah says about being a prophet. This is from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Speaking to God, Jeremiah says this. He says, but if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. You see, the role of a prophet, they receive the word of the Lord. How exactly they receive it, How each individual prophet heard it, I'm not sure of, if they heard the audible voice of the Lord or not, but in some way, shape, or form, they are receiving the actual word from the Lord. And when they receive it, they're not just supposed to hear what God has to say and go on and about their daily lives. They are called as prophets to speak that word to the people that they are supposed to speak it to. If we look into like 1 Kings, around chapter 18, we have Elijah. And Elijah brings the word of the Lord to God's people, the Israelites. They have a king, King Ahab, who is way, way off base. And the people of Israel are worshiping a false god, worshiping Baal. And Elijah comes with the mighty word of the Lord, and he tells all of the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel. We can't have it both ways. Either the God of the Israelites is the true God, or Baal is the true God. We can't have it both ways. He has all of the prophets of Baal sacrifice a bull on an altar. And then he instructs them to call on Baal to light the wood for the sacrifice that they made. The prophets of Baal, they wail and yell out for Baal to start that fire, to send fire down to consume that bull, and it doesn't work. They decide that maybe some shedding of blood would help Baal wake up and start that fire. So they started cutting themselves, doing some bloodletting, and trying to do that to see if Baal will hear them and start that fire. It does not happen. After they're done giving it their best try, Elijah, he does the same thing. He sacrifices a bull and he puts it on the altar, but he's there to prove a point. So he covers the bull, the wood, and everything in water. Lots and lots of water. So much so that it fills up a trench all the way around that altar. And then he calls on the Lord, his God, the God of the Israelites, and everything is consumed by fire from heaven. Elijah, he listens to the word of God, and then he goes and speaks the word of God. His protege, the one to follow in his footsteps, is Elisha. Elisha picks up the mantle or the cloak of Elijah when Elijah is carried up into heaven in a whirlwind. And he goes on to listen to the word of the Lord and then go and speak it. And we see some more incredible stuff happening with Elisha. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the next prophets that came after Elijah and Elisha. For this, we're going to turn to the book of Jonah. And today we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Over the next, well actually, be for all of August, we're going to talk about the prophet Jonah. So this will be the first in a series. Let us pray, and then we'll have the reading of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have shown us in your holy and awesome book. Lord, we know that this is your Word. That you spoke through the prophets, you spoke through the apostles and many other writers, so that your word is recorded down for us, so that we can read it, we can understand it, and we can have life in you. Lord, we ask that you continue to reveal your will and your ways Reveal yourself through this word today so that we can see you clearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. This is the word of God. This passage we're going to go through today, and I kind of divided it up into four different steps, or four different points. Number one is this, that at the beginning of this passage, we find out that this whole story is about the word of the Lord. I think it's first because it's a strong reminder for us that God and His action are behind everything that happens in our world. He is the primary actor in everything. He's sovereign. He's in control. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was reminded of what happened in the book of Genesis. You know, we're kind of talking about like the chicken and the egg kind of thing. What came first? Well, we know what came first. In Genesis, we find out that God speaks. There's nothing. The theological term for that is ex nihilo. There is nothing. And then the first thing that happens, as this whole thing, this whole journey that we're on, as it's getting started, the first thing that happens is God speaks. God speaks. It's the very first thing. God speaks. And then this world is created by His word. That's the beginning. So when we think about God and His Word throughout creation and even today, God's Word comes first. And the rest of everything is just trying to catch up with what God is saying. Isn't that kind of an interesting way to think about it? God's word is always first, at the beginning and today, and the rest of the world and everything else is just trying to catch up with what God is doing and what God is saying. Kind of a neat picture for how things are really working here in our world. It's not that something happens here first and God's word has to catch up with it. It's the other way around. God's word happens first, and the world has to catch up with what He's doing. That's what it means for God to be sovereign. So number one, the word of the Lord came. And now, number two. This word that we're reading about today was specific. The word came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, we don't assign meaning to our names for the most part. Some of you might carry along with you a name of a father or a grandfather or an uncle or somebody else, but for the most part, our names don't have meaning. But in biblical times, the words have meaning. And Jonah's name means dove. And If you do a search of the Bible, that what is associated with the dove? Well, early Christians associated the dove with peace. So when we think about Jonah, who he is, who he's called to be, he is the dove of peace. He is one that is supposed to bring the peace of God. The whole world needs peace with God. Because of sin, we've been separated from God. And because we are separated, we are not at peace with God. We need to be brought together with God and have peace. And Jonah was charged with doing that. He was supposed to help bring peace between people and God. This is his calling. It's in his name. He is Jonah, which means dove. It says here, too, that he is the son of Amittai. Again, that name has meaning, too, in Hebrew. Amittai means amen, or so be it, or truth. Right at the beginning of this passage, we see that this prophet, this Jonah, he is the dove of peace. He's called with bringing the truth, bringing the amen to the people that he is called to bring it to. This is his calling. This is who he is supposed to be. Well, what's he supposed to do? This is number three. Jonah's calling is to go speak the word of the Lord to the people of Nineveh. He is the dove of peace to bring the amen, to bring the truth to the people of Nineveh. We find out here that the wickedness of Nineveh has come up before God. Remember, there's no escaping the God of the universe. He is everywhere and always. He's omnipresent. And there is no escaping him. And he knows about all of the wickedness of the world. He knows when sin is bubbling up, both in individuals and in a society. And he is looking at Nineveh, and the wickedness there is great. We're talking about a place that is probably worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a place that could have sacrificed children to false gods. People that lived way outside of the will of God and were nowhere near his commandments and lived a rebellious and terrible lifestyle. One of my friends, he's a missionary bush pilot up in Alaska. When he was speaking one time, he mentioned that perhaps, because the people of Nineveh were enemies of Israel, perhaps Nineveh perhaps could have killed some of the people in Jonah's family. This was a bad place. People that were doing bad things. But Jonah is supposed to go and speak the word of the Lord to them. Think for a moment about people that might be on your enemy list. Do you have any enemies? If you were to the, you know, in your mind, make down a list, number one, number two, number three. Are there people there? Are there people groups there? Are there folks that you hate? Jonah is called to go where his enemies are and speak the word of the Lord. Could you do that if you were called? If you were called to go and speak the truth about God to your enemies, that was your calling, could you do it? I'd like to say that I can or would, but would I really? I had some people this week that tried to make an enemy out of me, and I've had to fight not to boil up in anger over their actions and their words. It's funny how God works, right? Like I'm talking about enemies, and then maybe some people pop up in your life that you could consider enemies. If you let anger get the best of you, God works in mysterious ways. It's just interesting that happens while I'm studying this. We know. With our God, there's nothing up to chance. But He is in control. And things don't happen without His will. So number one, this is about the word of the Lord. Number two, the word came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Number three, he is to go speak to Nineveh. Number four, and this was kind of our last major point here. Number four, Jonah runs away. Jonah skips town. So much for what Jeremiah says. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Well, it seems like Jonah can keep that fire quenched, right? He can keep the fire quenched because he turns tail and he runs away down to Joppa and pays to get on a boat so he can go to Tarshish. What's this whole Tarshish thing about? Here's what I imagine. I imagine Jonah, because he hated the Ninevites, because he was overcome with self-centeredness and he was totally wrapped up in himself, and because he doesn't want to listen to the Lord, I imagine Jonah taking his life savings. He must have been wealthy because he could travel. This isn't something that normal people could do. They couldn't just pay to get on a ship and go someplace else without some resources. He must have had some resources. He picks up his retirement account. He gets all of his coins cashed in, or whatever he's got, his gold bars, who knows. And he fills up his pockets, he goes down to Joppa, he gets on the boat for Tarshish. Now Tarshish would be a great place to retire, a great place to run away. Tarshish at the time was the center of human craft, and there was a lot of power and wealth there. This place was building the best of the best ships in their day. This was a nice place where he could go and retire, where he could forget about this whole prophecy business. He could forget about being part of God and God's family. He could just get away and not have to go and speak to his enemies. And we kind of wonder, well, what is he thinking in his heart? Some of the other prophets, they got to go and speak to their brothers and sisters, the Israelites. They got to speak among their family. They got to spread the word of the Lord in their own country, in their own land, amongst their own race, amongst their own people. But Jonah, he's called to go to Nineveh. He's to go and speak the word of the Lord to a different race, to a different country, to a different people that are not his own. And some interpreters wonder if in his heart there was some elitism or some racism popping up in Jonah, and he doesn't want to go and talk with these people. The other side of that, he could be scared. He could be scared because if he goes and talks with these people, maybe it'll be the end for him. Maybe they'll slaughter him. Maybe they'll chop off his head. Maybe they'll decide to throw him into the fire and burn him up as a sacrifice to Baal or to some other god. So he's got all of that going on too. Maybe he thought this was a death sentence that God was sending him on. We're not sure what is in Jonah's heart, but he decides to flee. So Jonah, perhaps he's dealing with hatred of his enemies. Perhaps he's dealing with self-centeredness. He clearly doesn't want to listen to the Lord. Now, at the beginning of this series in Jonah, I could stand up here and tell you, now, brothers and sisters, now, just don't be like Jonah. Okay? Just don't be like Jonah. That's all we got to do. But if I were to say that, I think I would be deceiving myself and leading you astray. This story from God is in here for a reason, and that reason is that every one of us can see Jonah in ourselves. We can't simply say, don't be like Jonah, because we are Jonah. We have been shown the incredible grace and mercy of God in Christ. The separation that we had from God because of sin, that gap is closed up because of Jesus' wonderful work on the cross for us. We are no longer enemies of God, but we are sons and daughters of God because he has been merciful to us. He has shown us his love through Christ so that we have salvation. We have that incredible and awesome mercy because of Jesus' work on the cross. Now, I say that we are Jonah because I wonder how often I have let that mercy and that grace stop with me. Where I've taken that mercy in for myself, but I haven't shared it with others. I haven't brought the word of the Lord to others and shared the good news with others. I've kept that for myself and decided to flee from enemies or flee from spreading the good news. I asked a little while ago if you were called to share the good news with your enemies, would you do it? I ask that for a good reason, because we have all been given a calling. All of us have been given a calling to spread the good news to people of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that we have been commanded. so that together as brothers and sisters, we can celebrate just how very close we are to God, and together we can live for Him. We are, like Jonah, called to share the good news with everybody. This could be with a people group that you hate. This could be with a neighbor that you hate. This could be with a coworker who drives you up the wall. We are called to share the good news. This story about Jonah is put here so that we can be educated in the will and the ways of God. We are to be a merciful people. We are to be a good news sharing people. We are called to be the light in the darkness kind of people. We are to share the good news with everyone, because no one, not the Ninevites, not this people group or that people group or this race or that race, none of them are outside of God's grasp. And we know that this whole grace and mercy thing is not going to end with us, but that it's going to continue, and there will be many, many who will come to faith in Christ, even our enemies.